From Illinois Public Media, this is The 21st. I'm Brian Mackey. Yesterday was historic. The first Illinoisans received an FDA-approved COVID-19 vaccine made by drug company Pfizer in Peoria and Chicago. Here's what that sounded like at OSF Healthcare in Peoria, where a patient care technician named Shamika was the first to sit down in a blue chair, have her sleeve rolled up, and have her upper arm injected with a shot of hope.
All right, Ms. Shamika, you ready? Done.
Governor J.B. Pritzker and State Public Health Director Ngozi Ezike were on hand for the event, and Dr. Ezike urged us to be patient.
This is going to be an extended process. Even though this is the last mile, we have, you know, almost 13 million people in the state. Herd immunity requires maybe 80%. We're talking about 10 million people. Five have done it now, but it will take quite a while to get to that 10 million. And so again, being patient, it's hard to give an exact timeline because I don't know how many doses I will have in January and February. So as more vaccines become authorized through that emergency use authorization process, that will give us more and more available supply. And as more and more people learn about this vaccine and decide they're gonna get it, that will give us available arms to put it in. And so the combination of those two factors and the logistics of getting it to them, that's when we'll get to the end. It will be many, many months. I think most of 2021 will be spent in this effort. But I'm excited for the engagement and for the support of the community to get this done as rapidly as possible.
Joining us now is one of the first healthcare workers in Illinois to receive the COVID-19 vaccine. Dr. Marina Del Rios Rivera is Director of Social Emergency Medicine and Associate Professor in the Department of Emergency Medicine, College of Medicine at the University of Illinois at Chicago. Dr. Del Rios, thanks so much for taking the time.
Thanks for having me.
I'd also like to welcome Dr. Harold Lawson, Chief Medical Officer at SIU Healthcare and also in the Department of Family and Community Medicine at the SIU School of Medicine in Springfield. A note to listeners, I've known Harry for many years. He works with my spouse, but in fact was booked for our show by one of our producers. Dr. Lawson, welcome to the 21st.
Thank you for having me.
Listeners, if you have questions for our guests about the COVID-19 vaccine in general or the experience of getting the vaccine specifically for Dr. Del Rios, join our conversation by giving us a call at 800-222-9455. Again, the number is 800-222-9455. Dr. Del Rios, I want to begin with you. You were, as I mentioned a moment ago, you were actually one of the first people in Illinois, possibly the first in Chicago, according to UIC Medicine, to receive the COVID-19 vaccine. Can you tell us what was the environment there like yesterday?
A lot of hope. I think a lot of excitement. Maybe the expectation of better days to come.
So what was going through your mind as you had this injected into your arm?
So it was a mix of feelings. I think that I'm sure that my colleagues that were there probably had a little bit of survivor's guilt in recognizing that we've lost a lot of coworkers over the last year. We've also lost a lot of friends and family members, especially those of us that come from Black and Latino communities that have been so disproportionately affected by this pandemic. And I think that there was a little bit I saw a lot of faces as I was sitting there on the chair. Sorry, it's hard to not get emotional.
No,
but at the
okay.
same time, there was also this sense of, you know, there's actually an end to this, that there is a light at the end of the tunnel. And although Mayor Lightfoot did state that it is a long tunnel, there's still an end to it. And that is definitely a reason to feel optimistic.
Yeah. And you are obviously among the first patients to see that light at the end of the tunnel. And thank you for sharing that. Were you part of the first group because you are actively treating COVID-19 patients? How is that decided at the medical facility there, who to get injected first?
Well, I am an emergency medicine provider, so I take care of COVID patients every day that I work a shift. And I think between that and the fact that I do believe the city was pretty strategic of who they invited to that room. Mm. And I've been a very vocal advocate and even critic of the testing, tracing, and isolating options for communities of color. And so I think that in the sense that we're hoping that the vaccine rollout will be with equity in mind, it was really important that the people in that room also represented the communities that have been largely affected by this pandemic.
Absolutely. Dr. Harold Lawson, I want to ask you, you're in Springfield. The first vaccines were administered in Chicago and Peoria. Will you be getting the COVID-19 vaccine when it becomes available?
It's available today, okay. Believe it or not. Again, in the area where an SIU covers central and southern Illinois, we have hub sites in multiple locations. But in our immediate geography, Sangamon and Macon counties, or where Springfield and Decatur are located, there is a small supply of vaccine that is being received today or yesterday in the fact of Macon County. There's a lot of, if you can imagine, there's been a lot of phone calls between myself as a member of an outpatient ambulatory group with specialists and primary care physicians that work within those hospitals to try to coordinate how we're going to do this. And as Dr. Del Rios was mentioning, there's been a tiering strategy in our region also to really focus initially on the healthcare workers that are in frequent contact with COVID patients on a daily basis. And that extends beyond physicians, to other providers and other healthcare workers, nurses, phlebotomists who draw blood, radiology techs. These individuals that come in that have COVID still require all the same medical care that we would provide on a normal basis. And so you have many, many people that come into frequent contact. So they're going to do their best to try to immunize or vaccinate those individuals first. So vaccine is hitting our region, but again, in small amounts.
And are you hearing, you or your colleagues hearing from patients as well who are eager to get this vaccine? And what are you telling them, if so?
Absolutely. We've had many calls from patients who are concerned about being able to get the vaccine or have questions about the vaccine. What we're telling them at this point is similar to what we're hearing from our state leadership, and that is we'll get there when we have the adequate supply. Again, there's been a process to tier individuals who come into frequent contact and care for patients. So we're trying to immunize those individuals first. And as soon as we have adequate supplies, we will begin distribution to patients. But at this point, we don't really have a good understanding of when that might be. But certainly it's going to be into 2021 and more than likely a few months down the road when we get to the general population. And again, population patients will be tiered depending on their risk profile. And that's been provided both by the CDC and IDPH for us here in Illinois.
Yeah. Okay. So let me reintroduce you. I'm speaking with Harold Lawson, who's Chief Medical Officer at SIU Healthcare and also in the Department of Family and Community Medicine at SIU Medicine. Also, Marina Del Rios Rivera, who is Director of Social Emergency Medicine and an Associate Professor at the College of Medicine at the University of Illinois at Chicago. Dr. Lawson mentioned that he's been getting questions from patients about the vaccine, and we actually have one on the line now. And listeners, we invite you to call in at 800-222-9455. That's 800-222-9455. Cindy in Oregon, thanks for calling the 21st. What's your question?
My question is regarding potential side effects of the vaccine. I understand it's gone through a rigorous vaccine testing process, but because of the short length of time, how could we possibly know of any potential side effects of the vaccine?
Okay, thank you for that call, Cindy. Dr. Del Rios, you have now experienced firsthand getting this shot. I wonder if you've had any effects specifically, and if you can talk in general what we know about potential side effects from these vaccines.
Sure. Well, I mean, personally, all I have experienced is a little bit of soreness at the injection site. really nothing else. In fact, I was telling one of my colleagues yesterday, it hurts less than when I got my flu shot a month ago. When I got my flu shot a month ago, I couldn't even lift my arm for a day because it was so painful and swollen. But this has been more just a soreness. As long as I don't touch it, it feels fine. People can have other side effects. Some of the side effects are really just expected as your immune system is building immunity against COVID. And so it's normal to feel some fatigue, maybe some body aches. Some people even have some low-grade fevers in day or two following the immunization. I so far have not experienced any of those. And in fact, I do plan to work a shift this afternoon.
Okay. So brief, at least no short-term effects for you. Dr. Lawson, I wonder if you have a perspective on this and you hear people who are concerned about potential long-term side effects that,
sure,
that maybe
absolutely. Because
this was so quick in this process.
Yeah. So long-term side effects are difficult to know at this point, obviously. This is an emergency use authorization, so it did come out quickly, as was mentioned by our caller. We have about 45,000 people in the Pfizer studies. That's the vaccine that's currently available. And those common side effects, as was mentioned, the soreness or swelling at the injection site, fatigue, muscle soreness, headache, maybe a little bit of fever, that gets lower down on the list. Those are the sort of typical side effects that you might think of. Even when you get the flu shot, you kind of feel like you might have the flu, even though you typically don't have the flu, because most of those vaccines are not live virus anymore. But it's that kind of symptoms that we have. There have been a few reported cases of anaphylaxis, but those are typically in individuals that have already experienced that type of reaction. And so in the description from the vaccine producer, it says, if you've had any type of anaphylactic reaction to a previous vaccination, that you shouldn't get this one. And so that's the main concern right now. There is very strict guidance and direction on how these vaccines are given. They have to be registered in ICARE for Illinois. And every state will have a different process, but in Illinois, ICARE, that's an immunization registry. That is the source of truth for us. Additionally, very strict rules on how we report any adverse events. So when someone has symptoms or an event that's different than the typical side effects that are described in the vaccine information, those have to be registered immediately, and those will be tracked. As you get into the higher numbers of individuals that receive the vaccine, millions, they will start to really understand if there are additional side effects that could be experienced. But as of right now, they seem to be the typical type of side effects that you would get. There's no way to understand long-term side effects until you've been doing a program for long-term. And that's with any type of vaccine or any type of medication that we have that's new to the market. So that's not different than normal trials, other than this one has been abbreviated, but long-term effects typically could be anywhere in the years, and we don't know that for any medication or any vaccine, even with a normal FDA approval process.
Okay, good information there. Dr. Del Rios, you got the shot. This is one of those two-step shots, right? Can you talk about what is next in the process? You're not considered fully protected, or at least as protected as this vaccine can make people, until that's complete, right? Can you talk about what's next?
Yeah, no. So in 3 weeks, I'll have to return to get my second, my booster shot. Over the next few days, I'll be receiving text messages from the Department of Public Health, just kind of checking in with me and seeing whether I've developed any symptoms. As Dr. Lawson said, this is being done with this particular vaccine, and it's encouraged that people sign up for those text messages after they get vaccinated. Again, just to track to see if there's any side effects that that develop as we start immunizing the general population. So I'll be receiving text messages every day for the next week. Then I'll get a 2-week break from the text messages, and then I'll get my shot at 3 weeks after my initial shot. and then another monitoring time of another week, and then at 3 months, 6 months, and I think up to a year, they'll be monitoring again just to see if we can answer that question of what are the long-term side effects, if there are any, related to this vaccine.
We need to take another break here in a moment. I'm just going to let me reintroduce my guests. I'm speaking with Dr. Marina Del Rios Rivera. She's Director of Social Emergency Medicine and an Associate Professor in the Department of Emergency Medicine at the University of Illinois at Chicago. We're also speaking with Dr. Harold Lawson, who's Chief Medical Officer at SIU Healthcare and also in the Department of Family and Community Medicine at the SIU School of Medicine in Springfield. Listeners, if you have questions for our guests about the COVID-19 vaccine, we would love to take them at 800-222-9455. The number to call again is 800-222-9455. Coming up after the break, we're going to talk about some of the skepticism and resistance that we've seen. The Kaiser Family Foundation had a report just out yesterday on Tuesday that said that there were high rates of vaccine hesitancy among people in their 30s, people who live in rural areas, Black adults, and among Republicans. We're going to talk about that and more about the first COVID-19 vaccines coming to Illinois after a short break. You're listening to The 21st. Stay with us. This is The 21st. I'm Brian Mackey. We're speaking about the arrival of the COVID-19 vaccine in Illinois. The first few thousand doses were administered yesterday in Chicago, in Peoria. We're joined by one of the people who is actually among the first to receive the vaccine. Dr. Marina Del Rios Rivera is Director of Social Emergency Medicine and an Associate Professor in the Department of Emergency Medicine at the University of Illinois at Chicago. We're also joined by Dr. Harold Lawson. He's Chief Medical Officer at SIU Healthcare and a professor in the Department of Family and Community Medicine at SIU Medicine in Springfield. And listeners, we want to take your questions at 800-222-9455. If you have questions about the COVID-19 vaccine in general or just want to ask Dr. Del Rios in particular about her experience, 800-222-9455. I'd also like to bring another voice into the conversation now. Brian Laird is manager of pharmacy operations at OSF Heart of Mary Medical Center in Urbana. As Brian, as someone who is a pharmacist, I wonder if the arrival of this vaccine in Illinois is a significant moment for you personally, as somebody who's presumably going to be involved in dispensing this medicine.
Good morning, and absolutely. You know, we've been waiting for this day for months. As Dr. Del Rio said, it's the light at the end of the tunnel. You know, pharmacists are going to play a big role in vaccinating the public, we believe, in the future months. And me, as a healthcare provider at a hospital here, you know, I've seen firsthand, just as so many other people have, the effects of this disease and seen it happen to people that we love. So we really need to get this under control, and the vaccine's going to be the best way to do it.
And do you have a sense of whether I should say when OSF in Urbana is going to be getting the vaccine? Has it come in yet?
It has not come in yet. We hope to be very soon, maybe even as early as tomorrow, but that remains to be seen as of now. But I can assure you, as soon as we have it in the pharmacy here, we'll be giving out as soon as it possibly can be.
Okay. I want to go to the phones again at 800-222-9455. Christine in Urbana, welcome to the 21st. Thanks for calling in.
Hi. My question this morning is that I had COVID, and so I have antibodies. And I'm not sure if I'm supposed to get the vaccine or not. And nobody has said anything about, you know, people who've already had it. But then they also told me that even though I have the antibodies, I could still get COVID again after 90 days. So no one's saying how long the vaccine's supposed to last. Does anybody know?
Okay, good question, Christine. Dr. Lawson, I wonder if you have an answer to that about if you've had COVID already, should you still need to get the vaccine, and how long can that protection last?
This is a really great question, and I will just provide additional information that I've also had COVID. I'm about 4 months out now. I also work as a hospitalist, so I take care of patients with COVID. I fully intend on getting the vaccine when it's available to me. And we don't know how long immunity lasts for sure after an infection. And we're unclear exactly what level of immunity we're going to have after the two-step vaccination. You know, this could be very much like a vaccination program that we have for flu. However, we anticipate that it will not require that frequency, but until we have the time and the testing, we won't know. And so this is one that we'll have to learn as we go to understand what the actual immunity will be. We're still learning because this is all new to us. And I think that's a great question. And I have that same question, and we've been trying to look into that from the perspective of, should I delay my vaccine for other healthcare workers that haven't had COVID in the past? And that's unclear also, because I would typically fall into the first tier category. So we're still waiting to see what information we'll have, and time will tell regarding the frequency of immunization.
Okay, so a lot of unanswered questions still, I guess, as we're early on in this process. I want to take another caller. Brett is in Cedar Rapids, Iowa. Our listeners are everywhere. Brett, thanks for calling the 21st. Go ahead with your question.
Yes, I'm a 50-year-old male. I've had multiple sclerosis since I've been 20. I'm just kind of wondering, should I get the vaccine or will it hurt my MS? I'm in remission. I've been in remission for about 10 years, so I just kind of wondered if it would hurt my MS, if it would hurt me, I should say, by getting the vaccine.
Okay, Brett, good question. Thank you for that. Dr. Del Rios, I wonder if you have a perspective, or what do we know so far about people who might have some of conditions like MS and getting the vaccine?
Yeah, that's an excellent question. And unfortunately, I don't have a good answer for that. I don't know that in these trials, we had many patients with conditions like MS that would be able to provide us some information as to what effect the vaccine might have in that population. At least I'm not aware of any data, and maybe either Brian or Dr. Lawson might have additional information that I'm not aware of. But I do know that patients that have a higher risk with other comorbidities, it also means that if you get COVID, your risk for having severe COVID and having long-term repercussions from COVID is higher than in people that don't have comorbid conditions. And so sometimes it's a matter of weighing risk versus benefits for any intervention that we decide to undergo, and immunization is one of them. I would say that with MS, much like with influenza vaccination, if your doctor has recommended that you get the flu vaccine every year, then I would dare to say that you should probably get the COVID vaccine too once it becomes available, unless you're aware of any severe side effects or long-term effects that you've had from previous immunizations. I don't know if Brian or Dr. Lawson had anything else to add to that.
Go ahead, Dr. Lawson, and if you had anything you wanted to add, or.
Yeah, I think how Dr. Del Rios explained that is an illogical approach regarding previous reactions to, let's say, the flu vaccination. You know, when, especially for someone who's in remission and may not be on any active treatment, that might be a different story. As far as what your safety is, meaning it might be a safer time than when you are, you know, potentially immunosuppressed for some particular reason from some medication. Number one, you won't get the same immune reaction, but number two, your body may be a little more susceptible. I also think, you know, this vaccine is a little different than what we've experienced with, let's say, the flu vaccine. Specifically, the Pfizer vaccine is what we call a messenger RNA vaccine. And to be very sort of simple with it, essentially what it does is it sends a message to the cells and it creates a protein that becomes what's called a spike protein. If you've seen a picture of the COVID virus, it has a little spikes on the outside. So it's not, you're not infecting anyone with COVID. You're just using the messenger to create a protein in the cells that creates the spike protein that goes on the outside of the cell, and your immune system recognizes that as foreign and then reacts to it and creates immunity. That's a very simplistic explanation, but that's really what's going on. And so it's a little different than how we do flu vaccines. It's a different methodology, newer methodology, but one that we believe is going to be very effective.
And Brian Laird, you're a pharmacist, doctor of pharmacy. What are the things you are looking for? I imagine you're accustomed to looking at the safety of vaccines and other medicines. What are you looking for with regard to the COVID-19 vaccines? And how does it compare to, well, we just heard an explanation of the messenger RNA versus the sort of older style of giving vaccines that might have involved live or inactivated virus. What are you looking for in terms of safety with the COVID-19 vaccines?
Well, I think Dr. Lawson did a great job of explaining a very difficult concept with messenger RNA and what that is. And just to go back a little bit, I'm actually looking at the New England Journal of Medicine article that was published on the Pfizer vaccine. And one of the exclusion criteria says treatment with immunosuppressive therapy or diagnosis with immunocompromising conditions. So exclusion means those were left out of the study. So we really don't know what would happen in those patient populations. So like I said, it's more of an individual conversation and things we can learn and talk about later. But as far as the safety, I mean, in hospital pharmacy land, we read a lot of studies. We look specifically to see what the safety is, what the aspects are. And as Dr. Lawson said, the mRNA vaccines, it's brand new technology that we've never had a vaccine approved before. However, that doesn't mean we don't know anything about it. These vaccines have been studied for decades. The technology has been around. We've tried and been refining them to see if we can get them to be approved, to get them to be useful, because we think it's going to be a very good tool for vaccines to prevent diseases. We just haven't perfected it yet until this one. So when we look at these, we're looking at the adverse events. In other words, the side effects, you know, what's going to happen, so that way we can try to predict to patients and get them informed, let them know what to expect. So when Dr. Del Rios, she said that, you know, I've had a little pain in the injection site, that's going to be pretty common. According to the Pfizer study, I think it was about 77% of people had some pain in the injection site. So it's one of the things to be expected. But just because it's listed as a side effect, you know, the fever and the fatigue and things we talked about, doesn't mean that's going to happen to everybody and doesn't mean that it's going to be debilitating. You know, one of the things that the studies really do is they want to capture absolutely everything. So when the patients go through them, they mark down, did you have any pain? Did you have a fever? Did you have anything? That way we have a better picture of what we know and we can provide a safe outcome for what's going to happen.
Okay, let me quickly reintroduce my guests. You've just heard there, Brian Laird is manager of pharmacy operations at OSF Heart of Mary Medical Center in Urbana. We're also speaking with Dr. Marina Del Rios Rivera, who is director of social emergency medicine and a professor in the College of Medicine at the University of Illinois at Chicago, and Harold Lawson, who's chief medical officer at SIU Healthcare and also on the faculty at SIU School of Medicine in Springfield. I want to go back to the phones now at 800-222-9455. Sue on line four from Dunlap. Welcome to the 21st. Thanks for calling in.
Thank you. Thank you for taking my call.
I understand you had a comment about the vaccine.
One of the callers that called in commented that the long-term effects of the vaccine aren't known. And I think it's really important to stress to people that this disease is new as well as the vaccine. And so we don't really know the long-term effects of the disease. And I think that we should, as a retired medical person myself, I think that we should fully expect that the long-term effects of the vaccine will be far less than the long-term effects of the disease.
Okay, thank you for that call, Sue. That's an interesting comment. Dr. Lawson, I wonder, you mentioned that you yourself are a COVID survivor. Have you had any, if you're willing to say, it's not too personal, any long-term effects from that, or maybe some of you've had patients who've had those long-term effects?
Well, I will say that the caller makes an excellent point, and that is, what are the long-term effects of COVID? And that frequently is skewed or obscured because people have chronic medical conditions and they come in with a COVID infection and it exacerbates their existing chronic medical conditions, or it comes out in some other form, like an inflammatory process. So Yes, I've mine. I will take my long-term issue right now, which is I've not had taste or smell for 4 months. I'm hoping to get it back someday. Wow. But you know, it's been a long while. But I'll take that over some of the other things I've seen. I've personally, as I think anybody in the healthcare industry has had over the last 9 months, I've had patients I've taken care of who've not made it out of the hospital. You've seen all kinds of strange presentations and exacerbations of chronic medical issues, you know, inflammation of the heart or the lungs, and rapid declines in individuals that you were thinking maybe were getting better. That's been the most disheartening piece of this is seeing someone rapidly get worse when you thought we've turned the corner and we're getting better. That really bothers you as a healthcare provider when you're trying to do the best you can for these patients, and then something significant like that happens. Long-term effects, again, are unknown of the virus and the strain that the virus puts on individuals, especially with chronic health issues. So that is a very valid and excellent point and something to be balanced out as we consider getting the vaccine.
We've only got a couple of minutes left in our conversation, unfortunately. And before we end, Dr. Del Rios, I want to ask you, I mentioned earlier there was a Kaiser Family Foundation report that said 35% of Black adults say they definitely or probably would not get vaccinated, as do one-third of those who say they've been deemed essential workers, and about a third of those who work in a healthcare delivery setting. I wonder what you and your colleagues, and how do you think doctors in general can address this mistrust that's out there?
Well, I think first and foremost, respect why that mistrust is happening. I think the truth is that both that Black, Indigenous, and Latino communities have been subjected to some very unethical research in the past and medical mistreatment. So I think we just need to acknowledge why that mistrust happens, and then, you know, try as much as possible to engage with trusted messengers to address those concerns, to answer as many questions as our patients have. I, for my part, I thought that it was important for me to be among the first to be immunized because I wanted to set a good example for my own community to show Latinos that one of their own is willing to sit down and have the vaccine and say that it is effective and that it's safe and safer than getting COVID. So I think it's just the onus is on us to relay that message in a credible and trusted way and engage with our patients.
We're going to have to leave it there. Dr. Marina Del Rios Rivera is Director of Social Emergency Medicine and on the faculty in the College of Medicine at the University of Illinois at Chicago. I also want to thank Dr. Harold Lawson, who's Chief Medical Officer at SIU Healthcare and on the faculty of the SIU School of Medicine in Springfield, and Brian Laird, who's Manager of Pharmacy Operations at OSF Heart of Mary Medical Center in Urbana. Dr. Del Rios, Dr. Lawson, Brian Laird, thank you all so much for being with us. Thank you for doing what you do and being with us today on the 21st.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Coming up, a conversation about Kwanzaa. Like every other holiday this year, it is going to be affected by the events of 2020. Not only the pandemic, but renewed calls for racial justice. We'll talk about that coming up after a short break. This is the 21st. Stay with us.